Would you join me in Matthew chapter 20, the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 20? And we come to this passage of Scripture looking for another commitment that we should make if we are to be outward-focused believers. And I want to begin tonight by reminding you of an account I shared with you when we first began this series several weeks ago. We mentioned a true account of a pastor and his wife who went to visit a mother who had recently visited their church. And as they walked into that meeting with this single mother, the mother shared with them that she'd been out of church for several years and had felt impressed to get back into church and had visited several churches looking for the one that she believed would meet the needs of her family. And she shared with them that, as far as she was concerned, she had tried a lot of churches but hadn't found a decent church among them. And even commented, "Your church is the best, but it has its problems." She then shared a blog with the pastor and his wife that they took time to glance at, and the pastor's wife was the first one to respond. Her name was Megan, and she said to the single mother, "It's a good article that we church leaders can certainly be attentive to and learn some things from, but maybe you're asking the wrong question as you look at churches. Maybe instead of asking about what you can get out of church, you should be asking God how He would have you serve through a church. And so instead of saying, 'I want,' consider saying, 'I will.'" Unfortunately, many who are in churches, many who visit churches, many even long-time attenders of churches, go into churches looking for what they want to get out of church, how they'll be served by the church. But in the passage of Scripture we're going to look at tonight, we are challenged to determine to serve others rather than serving or looking to be served ourselves. I want you to follow along as I read Matthew 20, beginning at verse 13. We'll read down through verse 28. "And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, 'Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again.'" You may want to note right there these first few verses of this passage. This is the most specific announcement of His coming passion that Jesus will make to His disciples. He speaks to them on a number of occasions about His mission, His purpose, that He's going to lay down His life. But this is the most specific announcement He'll make to them. But catch how the passage continues in verse 20. "Then came to Him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons," her sons are James and John, "worshipping Him and desiring a certain thing of Him. And He said unto her, 'What wilt thou?' She saith unto Him, 'Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom.' But Jesus answered and said, 'Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?' They say unto Him, 'We are able.' And He saith unto them, 'Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Let's break down the text a little before we get to the main theme. In our text, the mother of James and John approached Jesus with a bold question, a special request that becomes apparent. It's a selfish request. In fact, in the same passage, the parallel passage in Mark that shares this story, we find that it's James and John themselves coming to Jesus with this request. And so apparently James and John have talked about it. They've shared it with their mother, and their mother has taken it upon herself to come to Jesus with not ultimately what is her request, but ultimately what is the request of James and John. To be given positions in his kingdom. They desired these special places. To sit on the right hand and the left was not just the nearest position to him, but it was a position of prestige. They wanted Jesus' assurance that this special privilege would be granted to them. Jesus responded to their request with a question, and their response identified a definite lack of understanding of Jesus' mission. Because what did Jesus just shared with them? We're going to Jerusalem. The religious leaders are going to take me and turn me over to the Gentiles. I'll be scourged, I'll be condemned, and I'll be crucified. So friends, think of this for a moment. While Jesus was predicting his passion, they were consumed with privilege, position, and power. Jesus is talking about his death. He's talking about being nailed to a cross. And where is their focus? Their focus is still on the kingdom. But I wonder how many of us today are consumed with privilege, position, and power, more consumed with those things than we are his kingdom. Or excuse me, his passion. I wonder how many of us are looking toward a crown, reward, heaven, and we have neglected that he went to a cross. And he tells us about our lives here in this world that we are to do what every day? Take up our cross. Friends, can I share with you this truth? Jesus doesn't tell us to get up every day, go to the closet, grab our crown and put it on and go around throughout our lives. He tells us to get up every day to go to the closet, meet with him and take up our cross and follow him. It's a little different perspective, isn't it? And can I tell you today, we live in a Christian culture in our country that teaches and preaches no self-denial when Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Friends, we've got to be careful not to make the same mistake that James and John made in this passage. We've got to be careful that we're not so focused on his kingdom, privilege, power, and position, reward, and a crown, that we miss out on what he has for us in this life, which is a life of taking up our cross and following him. You've heard me say it before. Before the crown comes the cross. That's Bible truth that we need to live in light of. Matthew records that after this request, and even after Jesus speaks to them about what they'll face drinking the cup and being baptized with the baptism he's baptized with. By the way, they're talking about power and privilege and position. These terms, the cup that I'll drink of and the baptism that I'm baptized with, as Jesus uses them in this passage, are terms and language of judgment. And they say, yeah, Lord, we can take that cup. We can take that baptism that you'll face. They're still thinking about the kingdom. And what did the other 10 do? The Bible says in verse number 24 that the other 10 were moved with indignation. Now, don't read into that something that's not there. Well, the other 10 were righteous, and they were righteously indignant with James and John. No, this wasn't righteous indignation. This was jealous indignation. They wanted to be first themselves. They wanted the position, the power, and privilege for themselves. And you almost get the idea that they're kicking themselves that they didn't ask the question before James and John did. Think about this, friends. They demonstrated in their reaction they had the same selfish ambitions. Incredibly, with Jesus present with them, a fight almost broke out among his followers. We look around at that type of situation with Christians today when a fight almost breaks out. Jesus was there with them, and they almost broke out into an all-out fight. 100% of his disciples wanted to be first. Every single one. All 12 of the disciples that he had called and marked as his apostles, every single one of them, you go down the line, James, John, Peter, Thaddeus, Thomas, Bartholomew, and so on, every single one of them wanted to be first. But Jesus, as he often did, responded not with sharp rebuke, but with thought-provoking teaching for his disciples. What was his lesson? In the brief time we have remaining, I want you to consider Jesus' three challenges given to his disciples to help them make the commitment that we each need to make. And it's the commitment, I will serve. I'll be a servant. I'll focus my attention and my life on serving others rather than being served or serving myself. What were these three challenges? Number one, I want you to notice this, to be attentive to his voice. To be attentive to his voice. When the ten become indignant against James and John, and a fight is about to break out among the 12, the first part of verse 25 are very tender, compassionate words from Jesus. What does the beginning of verse 25 say? It says this, but Jesus called them unto him. The 12 are there, and you get the picture that maybe they're circled around and they're arguing and they're fighting, and maybe even a fist fight is about to break out among them. And Jesus calls out to them and says, hey guys, come here. Let me have a word with you. Let me talk with you for just a few moments. He called them to himself to speak with them. Can I remind you today that God wants to speak to you? God wants you to hear his voice. He wants to teach you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to transform you. He wants to challenge you, and he does that through his word. You know, in our lives, though, there are so many other voices clamoring for our attention. There are a lot of distractions in this world. I came across a comic of a young man. He was sitting in front of a computer. He was wearing earbuds and he was holding a phone. And the caption of the comic is he's in front of a computer holding a phone, wearing earbuds. The caption was, "God, why can't I hear your voice?" Is it any wonder with all the distractions that we become distracted with? In this crazy world, we need to learn to shut out the distractions so we can be attentive to the voice of God. You've probably heard the statement, seen it somewhere before. Train your mind to hear what God whispers and not what the enemy may be shouting. And how true that is, friends. We need to be trained. We need to be disciplined. We need to be determined that in this world full of distractions, with so many voices clamoring for our attention, that we'll be attentive to the voice of God. We'll understand that God wants us to determine to serve when we listen to His voice. If you're hearing God speak to you, you'll understand that God wants you to serve others. If you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God as you're out and about in your daily life, you will hear and feel the prompting of the Spirit of God leading you to serve others in compassionate, practical ways. But I also want you to know that God wants us to hear His voice before we serve. Do you remember the account shared in Luke 10, verses 38 through 42? Jesus had gone to the home of Mary and Martha, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to His word, while Martha was cumbering herself with much service. And she came in and said to Jesus, "Tell Mary to get off from being at your feet and come and help me." And what did Jesus say? "Mary's chosen the good part, and it won't be taken from her." Now, let me remind you, was Jesus rebuking Martha for serving? Was Jesus telling her she shouldn't serve? No. Was Jesus saying that Mary should never serve? No. What was He teaching? Listening to His voice is essential for service. We need to have our priorities in line. We should not serve without listening to His voice. Nor should we listen to His voice without serving. If we're truly listening to what God is saying, He will lead us to service. It's been said that no amount of Christian activity compensates for an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. But I'll follow that up by saying, if you have an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ, He will lead you to serving. Be attentive to His voice. The second challenge that Jesus gave His disciples, not only be attentive to His voice, but He says, adjust your thinking. In verses 25 through 27, Jesus contrasted the perspective of leadership among natural men with the perspective of leadership that should be present among His followers. What Jesus was saying was this: His kingdom that they were so interested in, His kingdom where they were requesting and desirous to be first, His kingdom where they wanted His assurances that they'll have places of power, doesn't work the way the kingdoms of this world do. The kingdoms of this world work as people lord themselves and lord power over others. They seek position, power, and prestige so that they may rule over others. The standing philosophy of this world is you need to get ahead to be ahead. You need to get ahead to stay ahead. You need to put yourself out there. You need to climb the corporate ladder. You need to make yourself look good. Put yourself out there. Be first. But Jesus blasted that philosophy for His followers in His kingdom when He said this: "It shall not be so among you." Look at how He says that in verse 25. He said, "You know that the princes of Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you." That's not the way it's going to work in My kingdom. That's not the way it's going to work for My followers. Friends, there's a problem with the believer and the church who looks to the world for style and substance. We do ourselves and our Lord a disservice when we look to the world to determine the style and the substance of our lives and what our ministry should be. And I'm not just talking about preference issues. I'm talking about a philosophical issue. I'm talking about a mindset. I'm talking about a focus. Jesus clearly taught His disciples in this passage that they needed to have a thought transformation about the substance and style of their lives and ministry. It's not going to be about you. It's not going to be about getting up on a pedestal and putting yourself up there. It's not going to be about exaltation of self, putting yourself first, looking for how you might be served. No. The greatest in God's kingdom are not those who are the most popular, not those who have the most money, not those who have the highest social status. The greatest in God's kingdom, those who will be lifted up and receive glory from God, are those who humbly serve one another. Why is it that we are often more concerned about what others do to us and what others do not do for us than we are about what we are or are not doing for others? Isn't that true in your life so many times, in mine? Well, so-and-so did this to me, or so-and-so didn't do this for me. That person didn't treat me right. That person didn't treat me well in that situation. Why am I not being served in these ways? Why are we often more concerned about that than we are about what I am doing and not doing to serve my Lord and to serve others? Obedience to and following the Lord demands that we determine to serve others rather than serving or looking to be served ourselves. There's a film, I've not personally seen this film, but this film is about a man who discovers that he's a superhero. He had no understanding or knowledge of this. And in one of the scenes, he's lifting weights and his son keeps adding weights onto the bar as he's lifting these weights without him even knowing it. And eventually, he gets to the point where he just asks his son, how much weight is on the bar? And his son responds, everything. It's all there. And the point was, the more this man learned how strong he was, the more weight was placed on him, and the more he was able to be a superhero for others. What does Jesus teach here? That the economy of His kingdom is this: to be great, you must learn to serve others. Serving others is being helpful to your coworkers, your peers, your family. You can serve in compassionate and practical ways, things as simple as feeding the hungry or doing a clothing drive for people who need clothes. Meekness. A trait that Jesus demonstrated is a trait that we all need to strive to have developed in us by the Holy Spirit. Meekness is that trait that allows us to put our own agenda aside for the sake of helping others. It may look like going to a shelter and volunteering rather than going to the shopping mall. Let me ask you, how can you this week show meekness in how you interact with others? Through service. Jesus challenges us. We need to be attentive to His voice. We need to adjust our thinking. And then notice, finally, He challenges us. We need to take account of His example. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? The Savior, the Creator, God the Son. He's the eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present One. And yet, what does He declare here in verse 28? Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. What a wonderful example our Savior set for us He came to this world not looking to be served, though if anyone deserves to be served and exalted and lifted up, it's Him. If anyone has the right to put Himself on a pedestal, it's Him. And yet Jesus came to this world not looking to be served. But what does He say? Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give Himself, His life, a ransom for many. Jesus set Himself as the example for us to follow. He was more concerned and is more concerned with doing for others than He was and is others doing for Him. And laying down His own life demonstrated that. Consider, Jesus has been exalted by the Father and given a name that is above every name because He humbled Himself, became a servant, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Before that exaltation was laying down His life. So here is the simple question. Will you and I follow the example of Jesus and make a commitment? I will serve. What do you need to do in response to the message from the Bible? Be attentive to His voice. If you're not serving in some way, if you're not serving others, if you're looking to serve yourself or be served more than you're looking to serve, be attentive to His voice and hear His desire for you to make the commitment to serve others. Adjust your thinking. If your life is about self-service or being served, you need a mind transformation. Take account of His example. He's your supreme example. Can I remind you that you are being conformed into His image? You're being transformed into His image, not the image of someone else. What does following the example of Jesus require? It requires humble submission to God and humble submitted service to others. One churchgoer who came to that recognition wrote in a blog that she was able to comment on. She says, "I've never been more joyful to be a church member. I don't have to worry about getting my way. My mission is now to serve others. It's much more fun to serve than to be served. I still pray every day for my attitude, and I pray for specific people in the church every day. That has changed my attitude incredibly. I have almost made certain I do anything of service in the church at least 1 hour a week. I volunteered for nursery duty. I committed myself to shut-in ministry to visit at least 3 shut-ins a month." And then she concluded her comments with these words, I truly have learned in action what Jesus meant when He said we would be first if we put ourselves last. I am last in the sense that I serve others before me. I am first in the sense that I have incredible joy coming directly from Jesus. I wish I had made this effort years ago. I have truly learned how to experience the joy of Christ by serving. What a commitment that we should all make. I will serve. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this evening? And in just a moment, I'm going to pray and we'll be dismissed. But before I pray, can I just ask you this evening, how committed to you are you to serving? Are you more interested in serving yourself or being served than in serving others? In what ways are you serving others? Are there examples of compassionate, practical service regularly in your life? Perhaps tonight God has spoken to your heart about a commitment to serving others. If He has, I would ask you as I close us in prayer that you would right there cry out to the Lord in your own heart. and make that commitment to service, and then look for the opportunities around you to practice humble service to others. Father, thank you so much for the example of our Savior Jesus and the challenge given to us in this passage. Help us to not be so focused in the sense of reward and a crown, Lord, that we neglect or forget that there's a cross to carry today. Our cross of service and surrender to you. Lord, it's not a life that is a life of regret or resentment. When we love you and follow you, Lord, it is a blessed life. But it does come with challenges. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to rise to those challenges by your help and your Spirit's enabling to serve others in practical, compassionate ways, even as our Savior gave the example. And we will be sure to praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.